In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Yes, I know it's a little bit early than our normal time for Going to Issues, Etc. Blog of the Week, but we have one that I'd like to respond to here. Blog of the Week is just simply a time for us to acknowledge all those bloggers out there who so faithfully write what they write, and we read your blogs. In fact, the ones we're reading always have the Issues, Etc. widget on them. You can find the widget by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click support, you'll find the widget there and instructions on how to insert it into your blog. Then email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Let us know it's there and that your blog is there. We'll start reading it, and then it could be picked for Issues Etc. Blog of the Week. But we always start with Jeff's pick of his blog pick of the week.
Why is that? Why does mine go first?
You always go longer than I do.
Oh, that's true. And then I give you very little time left.
I have very little
yours.
Time, and then I just kind of toss mine
Not
in.
Today, my friend, because we've got a whole segment.
I know.
Okay.
There's lots of questions to respond to.
My pick for Issues Etc. Blog of the Week is Pastor Thomas Messer's Abide in My Word. It's a blog post titled, surprise, surprise, the latest Issues Etc. promotional video. I just saw this at the IE website. Must have missed it when it came out a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, below is the latest IE promotional video. I think the You Can't Teach Lay People Theology myth is still very much alive and well in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. First of all, you can teach lay people theology. Issues Etc. has been doing it for almost two decades now, and faithful pastors have been doing it ever since there have been faithful pastors. Secondly, behind this myth is the idea that lay people are just not interested in learning theology. So the solution to that has been for many pastors over the years, don't bother them with theology. But see, that's the actual problem. The solution should be teach them how important it is for them to learn theology. And then, well, teach them theology. Don't give up. Keep exhorting them to learn. Keep teaching them. Yeah, it's hard work, but that's a bit of the hard work pastors are called to do. Sure, there will be some who are simply disinterested, but there will also be plenty who are more than ready and willing to learn. One of the qualifications of a pastor given by St. Paul is that he be able to teach, 1 Timothy 3:2. To be able to teach not only means that he has the theological knowledge required to teach, but also that he has a passion for learning theology himself and the desire to pass on what he has learned to the flock under his care. Any pastor who says you can't teach lay people theology is really saying teaching lay people theology isn't important. And any pastor who says that is in dire need of someone teaching him a little theology, since he has either forgotten what he has learned or didn't pay attention to what he was taught in the first place. In any event, you can teach lay people theology. I know. I am blessed to serve a parish full of lay people who are very interested in learning theology, and I have watched them grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right before my eyes over the years. And I am ever so thankful for resources like Issues Etc., which has been a blessed aid not only in my ongoing theological development, but also in my ongoing catechesis of the parish I serve. And anyway, enough rambling. Here's the excellent video, my pick for Issues Etc. Blog of the Week, Abide in My Word by Pastor Thomas Messer. And the rest of you can watch this new video, YouTube video, thanks to Pastor David Gallus, at issuesetc.org and go to the support page.
And it's only been up there, I think, since the very beginning of this week.
Correct.
We've been sitting on it for a while, and then we thought it would be a good time to unveil it. David Gallus produces these videos for us on occasion as the mood strikes him, and this one has to do with the origins of Issues, etc., and disproving the myth that you can't teach lay people theology. Thank you, David, very much. issuesetc.org. click support, scroll down, you'll find not only the latest YouTube video, but beneath it links to all the previous YouTube videos for Issues, etc., most of which were produced by Pastor Gallus. Thanks again for all that hard work. My pick this week, it's from a blog that I often read called Vocation in the Valley, Life Under the Cross. Brian Yamabe is the young man, I'll call him a young man because it looks like a young man to me, he's got young kids, who writes this. He's apparently a lay delegate, if I'm not mistaken, to the convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod meeting in Houston, beginning with an opening service tomorrow. And he's recently posted a blog post called Thoughts of a First-Time Delegate. Now, there's nothing incredibly deep in here, but he poses a series of questions. And Jeff, I want you to chime in, if you would, in answering some of these questions. Jeff has never been a delegate to any LCMS convention, but he's been to more conventions than anybody sitting here, I'm sure. I've been to a number of them. Jeff's been to... How many have you been to? It's got to be like, what, six? Maybe six conventions?
What, 95, 98, 2001, 2004... No, I was at 2007.
Sure.
So five.
Five
straight conventions. I'm missing this one.
Yes. I mean, you're breaking your record for what it's worth, I guess. This is what Brian writes. He says, 9 days in Houston means 8 changes of clothes, and I don't really want to consider doing laundry, but I'm not sure how to pack. Is there some type of spoken or unspoken dress code? The answer to that is, I don't think so. A lot of pastors, actually, Brian, worry about what to wear when they go to a synodical convention, because if they wear their collar, sometimes that has a little bit of a political connotation. But for lay people, dress however. I would dress comfortably. I would certainly wear shoes that allow you to do a lot of walking, because you will be doing a lot of walking. That's just a little advice there. He says, what in the world am I going to be eating for those 9 days? How do they feed the delegates, Jeff? I mean, are they all on their own for all their meals? I don't think they actually have any organized way of feeding the delegates. There's like a little...
I think you get like meal money. Remember how there's very few places to eat in downtown Houston?
It was unbelievable.
Like there's like a Subway, and then a couple of places it's like McDonald's, and the lines from the LCMS convention delegates while they're out of session, you know, because you get like an hour. And you'd be lucky, you know, you got to bring your meal inside to then eat on your walk back.
There's like a very small, limited kind of a commissary at the Hilton. And then where we stayed at the Hyatt, it was even more limited. And of course, it's hotel food prices. So be aware of that. It's not as though downtown Houston is a buzzing center of cultural or culinary life. Okay, I'll just warn you about that. If you want to find a decent bar or a decent restaurant, you might find yourself walking quite a distance. And as Jeff said, standing in quite a line. And remember, it's going to be about 140 degrees downtown Houston. It's a lot of concrete. It really soaks up a lot of heat. And so at night, it doesn't cool off at all. In fact, I think it gets a little hotter when the sun goes down in downtown Houston. It's also rather near the ocean, so it's pretty muggy too, which is why I'm not down there for the next 9 days. Let's see what else. He says, what will cause me to venture out of the air-conditioned hotel and convention center and do battle in the heat of Houston? Perhaps nothing. I think he says he's staying in the Hilton, so he won't have to leave at all if he doesn't want to. There is a short walk across the street to the convention center, but I think there's actually a little walkway that's air-conditioned as well. So if you don't want to, you don't have to. And again, it's not like there's a lot out there. It's a concrete jungle in a lot of ways. It's very unique in terms of big cities, and Houston is a big, big city. Very unique in that sense that the downtown is kind of roll up the sidewalks at 5 o'clock. It's strange. He asks, do the cool kids go to any of those receptions? They have all sorts of evening receptions for people at synodical conventions. He says, do the cool kids go to any of those receptions, or do they duck out and find something cool to do? My experience has been those who are sensible go back to their hotel rooms and sleep. Those who are slightly less sensible, but still within, you know, still possessed of their senses, will find a hotel bar to sit with friends and talk and eat and do things like that. I suggest you do as much of that as you possibly can, decompressing. And those who have lost their senses entirely spend the whole week going to receptions where they do nothing but rub elbows with other people and talk shop, which to me is rather tiresome. I mean, that's just my opinion. Some people actually have to go to the receptions.
But disclaimer here, you are a social recluse.
I am a social recluse. And even like sitting down in the bar with friends, I mean old friends, the kind of friends that I count among my oldest and dearest friends.
Wait a second, did you say you had friends?
Yes, but none of them live near me. All right, you've discovered my little secret here. I mean, do have a few, but I don't communicate with
them.
The
only one Craig and I are aware of is your new BFF, the Jimmy John's guy that brings you Jimmy John's.
I talk more with the Jimmy John's delivery guy than I do with any of my bona fide friends. I do. I mean, it's true. Okay, let me just, I'll be as clear as I can. My best friend is my wife. There's no two ways about that. She corners the market on that. And there's very little room for anyone else. And the people that I count as my dearest friends, I communicate with about once every decade. But that's how strong our bond of friendship actually is. So my secret is out. Brian does say, and I got one more here before we go out. He says, I can't wait to meet as many online acquaintances as possible, even though I am a hardcore introvert and probably won't have much to stay. I still look forward to meeting them in person. I wonder how tall they are, he asks. Well, I can answer that question with respect to one person. Pastor Matt Harrison, he's a giant of a man. I mean, when he walks here into the LPR studio, it's a duck to come in the door. It's amazing. I mean, he is as grand in stature physically as he is theologically and intellectually. And with a stature such as this, you can be assured that he has a pastoral heart 10 times the size of an ordinary pastor. So when you meet him, be prepared to be completely and utterly overwhelmed with both his theological stature, physical stature, and his pastoral heart. Brian, that's my advice. When we come back, hour two of Issues, etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.